Welcome to the podcast of the First Presbyterian Church of Englewood, a community committed to live boldly, share boundlessly, grow community, and build God's world. Please visit us in person or at englewoodpres.org.
Well, our second lesson today is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, this is 4th of July weekend for us, so it's a celebration of freedom here in the United States, and also around, you know, the world. We just had Canada Day yesterday, and so we had that. Mr. Andreano Ravello is, you know, the UN ambassador for Madagascar, and they told me that last Monday was Madagascar's Independence Day. And so I think summer's a good time for that. I think you try to time your independence celebrations for good weather, okay? You know, who would want to have their Independence Day in January? It wouldn't really work. But all these nations, they celebrate being free. And it leads this to this question that I think is something that most Christians misunderstand, which is the very nature of freedom and how we as Christians understand what it means to be free. See, Paul doesn't really use the language of choice when he talks about freedom, which is the way we normally talk about it. He talks about being enslaved. And so he says that, you know, thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin. See, that's a different way of thinking about it than what we're normally used to. When I talk to people and they talk about being free, they talk about this idea that they have free will, freedom to choose what is bad or choose what is good. But that actually isn't classic Christian doctrine on the issue of freedom. Classic Christian doctrine is not that sin is something that you choose to do versus something else. The classic Christian doctrine is that sin is an enslaving force. It is a power over you that has an inexorable grip on you. And Christian freedom is not license. It's not the freedom of choice. It's the liberation from that power over you. That's the classic Christian understanding of what it means to have freedom. It means that we are liberated from the power of sin over our lives. Now, the problem is that as soon as you start to understand how this works, then you get to the next piece of this argument that Paul makes, which is that now that you're not slaves of sin anymore, now that you're set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. We don't like that word, slaves. Okay, bad word. Okay, it's a real bad word. Of course we recoil against it. But this is what Paul is talking about. And it gets down to this fundamental choice that we have in our lives. More fundamental than the choice between doing good and doing bad. The fundamental choice is actually, do you want the choice to be able to choose bad? All right? That's the more fundamental choice that's present in our theology. Do you actually want the choice to be bad? See, we have this inner desire in us for autonomy. We have this inner desire in us to want to have the full array of choices, good and bad, available to us. And then we can pick the one we pick. But we have a little bit of a doctrinal issue about that. We hear theologically that desire for autonomy as sin. In fact, as original sin. See, the whole story starts in the garden. And God gives one little instruction. Don't eat the fruit. And God, you know, I've always said God's big mistake was not putting a guard around the tree. Fence. Electric fence. But in not doing that, you see, God gave the people the free choice to go to the tree or not. And what did they do? They went to the tree. See, the desire for autonomy is the root of original sin. The desire to choose the fruit or not is at the root of original sin. The desire to at least have the choice of what is bad in front of us is actually the root of human pride and the root of human sin. See, there's a thing that I know, because it does the same thing with me. If someone offered me this, I know I would be thinking, do I really want this or not? And that would be this. I can offer you a pill. And if you take this pill, you will never make a bad decision. You will never choose the wrong thing for the rest of your life. You would only choose the good thing to do. You know, you wouldn't say that thing that you want to say and gets past your filter. You know, you wouldn't have that extra drink you shouldn't have before you get in the car. You would never do that for the rest of your earthly life. I think every one of us would look at that pill and go, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I really want to take this. And that desire inside of you to not take it, that desire inside of you to retain your autonomy over doing what God would have you do flawlessly for the rest of your life, that desire is sin. That desire, and that desire is so strong, that temptation to not take that pill is so powerful. That's the power of sin over us in our lives. That really strong desire to at least want to have the option of doing the wrong thing. Now, of course, parents, you'd force feed your kids that pill. Right? You'd mix it in with their chocolate shake or something. You know? Give them an extra dose just to make sure it took. All right? Because that's what you want for your children. That's how much God would want it for us. God would wish that we would want to do the right thing always. That we would want to not have the license to choose what is wrong, to say what we shouldn't, to do the self-destructive thing. But instead, what we like to do, and Paul mentions this, is have the freedom to do the wrong thing, knowing that God forgives us. So he answers that question. He says, what then? Should we sin because we're under grace? He says, no. But the temptation to do that is really great. The temptation to know that God forgives us, God loves us, that when we do make that horrible choice, God says, you know what? Come home anyway. I forgive you. When we have that in our pocket, the temptation to choose the wrong thing becomes even greater. And that is something that we have to fight. It's something we need to understand isn't the way God wanted us to be. You see, when we talk about grace and we talk about faith, we focus on the forgiveness. We focus on this power of God, this desire of God to forgive the bad choices that we make. And that's certainly a really important thing. But the piece of being a person of faith that we seem to ignore is this word. It's a theological buzzword, sanctification. It's this idea that as we are people of faith, God works within us to make us not want the bad thing as much as we used to. Now, we don't get perfected in our sanctification in this life, but it should be our desire to grow in it every single day. And we need to be focusing on faith as a vehicle, not so much for forgiving the bad choices we make, but as a vehicle for improving the choices we make. We need to understand that freedom, okay? Freedom is not freedom to do something. Freedom is freedom from things. It is liberation. Even in our country, the 4th of July, Independence Day, it was freedom from the tyranny of the king. It wasn't about the freedom, the license to be bad. It was about freedom from, about being liberated from tyranny. And as a Christian, as you come to faith, what you want is to be freed from the tyranny of sin over your life, over the bad choices, the destructive choices that sin leads us to make. It's not just about being forgiven for those bad choices. It's about not making them in the first place. You think about someone who suffers the enslavement in terms of things like substance abuse. They don't want the freedom to drink or the freedom to take drugs. They want liberation from that desire. They want liberation from the desire to choose that. And that is what freedom means. Freedom from the desire to do that which leads them on the road to ruin. For us, it needs to be the same. See, Paul writes, he says, the advantage you get is sanctification. The advantage you get is not the forgiveness for the wrong. The true advantage here is that you won't choose it as often in the first place. We shouldn't want the choice to do bad. We shouldn't be saying, see, we have so many people sit there and say, well, is your obedience meaningful if you didn't have the freedom to do the wrong thing? The answer is yes. Because the obedience is meaningful in and of itself. This was the desire of God that we obey. I mean, sometimes we forget, you know, heaven, if you read any description of heaven, it's not a democracy. Right? God doesn't, like, call the angels together and say, hey, you know, let's vote. You know, God didn't propose 13 commandments and the heavenly host said, no, I don't like 3 of them. So only send 10. It's not a democracy. The only reason why we have embraced democratic principles in the governance of the church or in the governance of society has to do with the fallibility of the dictators, all right, which is us. that if you put any of us fallen human beings in charge of things, it's going to go bad. And so actually the whole point of democracy was the hope that somehow all of these individual selfish impulses might cancel each other out. And the good might happen to fall through after all the competing bad. It wasn't the idea that somehow there was wisdom within us. It was the hope that our evil impulses could be made to cancel each other out when in a human dictatorship there's no one to cancel out the evil impulses of the dictator. But in heaven you don't have that problem. You have the perfect ruler who can say, yes, this is the way it needs to be. And everyone knows that's the way it ought to be because it's God making the call. And so you submit to that. Because in that case, the ruler is perfect. And you say, okay, good. Because you are perfect and I am not, I will gladly substitute your judgment for mine. I mean, we all know people who won't do that. We all know people who won't do that, not just in an eternal sense, but won't do that even in even in our normal world. I mean, we know people, right? I mean, I look out there, I see physicians. And you kind of know medicine. And you've all had patients who won't listen to what you tell them. Even though the patient knows that you know more than they do, you still won't listen. All right? We've all done this with people in all kinds of situations where we're seeking the advice of someone who clearly knows more than we do about the decision we need to make, and then they tell us the decision we need to make, and then we say, no, I don't want to make that decision. That's sin again. It's that exposition of the rebelliousness in us that even faced with the superior decision, we choose not to abide by it. So it goes with the decisions we make in everyday life. God says, this is the thing to do. And we say no. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. And we say, sometimes. God says, be generous. And we're like, yeah, but not that generous. God tells us what is the right way to live. And then we decide that we don't want to do it. Martin Luther wrote a famous essay on Christian freedom. I just want to read you a piece of it. At the end of the day, he said, you know, good works do not make a good man, but a good man does good works. Evil works do not make a wicked man, but a wicked man does evil works. See, we have it backwards, and Luther has it the right way. We think that somehow if we are given the full array of decisions that are possible, the good and the bad, we can then define ourselves as good or bad based on which choices we make. And that the choices we make will then indicate, are you a good person or a bad person? And Luther is saying, no. That's backwards. The person you are, good or bad, will determine the choice you make. It's already determined. Determined by your character. And it comes out in your choices. So in fact, what we should want is to not have the option to choose the bad. Foreclose that option from us in order that we would only choose good. Because our choices don't determine who we are. They are determined by who we are. And as we grow in faith, that process of sanctification is that process of changing us inwardly so that the choices that emanate from our lives reflect God's will for us. So we need to think differently about what it means to be free and to understand that our freedom is freedom from all that which is bad. Not freedom to choose it or not. Because the story of Scripture from day one is that left to our own devices without enslaving ourselves to God will be that we make the wrong choice. So instead, We submit ourselves to the will of God. And instead of wanting the choice for ourselves, we let God dictate the choices we make. Amen.